Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for giving us the ability and the chance to get to know you better, Lord. And Lord, we also thank you, Lord, and allow you to be our Lord, Lord, and to lead us and guide us into all truths, Lord, and to show us things to come, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen.
Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord. Absolutely. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word, continuing our study in the book of James. This morning, we are in James chapter 2, covering verses 10 through 13. So whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you. Oh, wait. No, excuse me. That is not accurate. We are in 14 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. It's one of those days, apparently. 14 through 19, continuing our what we were building upon in the previous episode. So, whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I'd like to encourage you to pause the episode and read through that section of Scripture, making it easier to follow along in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen? Amen.
All right. And the floor is now open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you. And to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
I was just going to comment that I appreciate in the previous episode how Layla and Promise were both, you know, the underlying message was use the amount of faith that you have. Whatever faith that you've got, use it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's vital in your life with the Lord is to have the faith that's great. But it does you no good as long as it's unrealized potential or unused potential. So I think that is a wonderful concept to pull out of this section of Scripture. Whatever faith you have, use it. We should always be building our faith, right? But hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But just being a glutton on the Word and filling up and, you know, bloating yourself up on the Word so you have more faith, but you never actually use it, is doing yourself a disservice, to be sure. So I just appreciated that. And, you know, we should always be moving to grow in understanding the things of God as well. Everyone has to come into the natural earth as a baby and then grow into an adult and then grow into an adult that is reproducing after their kind and their likeness and progressing forward into being grandparents and, you know, this, that, and the other. So likewise, in the spiritual realm, we come in as babies and we are responsible to grow and to move forward. And when, as we're growing, the difference between the natural realm growth and spiritual realm growth is that it's not relegated to time on a clock. Like when you're born, you're not going to be 14 years old until you're 14 years old. The time is going to have to pass mm-hmm. day by day. You can't go beyond where you are at the moment. But in the spiritual realm, you're not relegated to being a, you know, if you've been in the faith 14 years, you don't have to be a baby or a teenager. You can be a full grown adult operating in the things of God. You can be 5 years, a 5 year old. In the spiritual realm, if you will, like technically you've been born again for 5 years and be an absolute giant, full grown adult in the spiritual things of God. So that's one thing that we need to understand. There are likenesses, but there are differences.
Amen.
And when it comes to our growth in the spiritual realm, let's not be satisfied with baby steps. You can consume concepts of the things of God and grow leaps and bounds in the spiritual realm, regardless of your natural age, whether you're old or young, and regardless of how long you've technically been saved or been born again. So I would encourage you, sometimes you guys hear me, when I speak about things, I'm like, just go, here's the real thing, just go to this, versus baby stepping through all these places that are not what you need. It's not the fullness of it. It means you're waking up and that's great, but it's not going to produce the life and the sustainability and the spiritual realm that you're looking for, because it's not the here's where the destination is. Here's the achievement level to be able to function like you need to. So you oftentimes hear me speak to the root of things, because that's how our Lord and Savior speaks. And that's how he spoke to his disciples. Like, hey, here's the thing. Get this right here. Yes, I know that you can meander on this path and, you know, take step by step by step to become awake to the things of God and finally arrive at this conclusion or this outcome, but you don't have to do that in the spiritual realm. You can gain the concept that is the main point of what the Lord is trying to teach and receive that kind of growth that you need to move forward. So as you're developing and cultivating in your relationship with God, by all means, use the faith that you have. And as you go, get the principal thing, right? That's yes, back mommy. In Proverbs, right?
Yes, mommy.
And all you're getting, get understanding, but get wisdom, right? Because wisdom is the principal thing. But with it, you need the understanding as well. And it doesn't have to take a lifetime to get there.
Amen. So while we're going through this, the Lord is bringing me to a slightly different place, right? And I'll say different message within it, although it still fits within what we're talking about. You know, we look at these verses 14 through 19, and it begins to set the stage for what follows after. And as you previously alluded to there, honey, we're talking about Abraham and, you know, the patriarchs and what they did, right? The testing of their faith, as it were. You know, but I love how he leaves it or begins by talking to us today, right? Even in verse 14, right? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that save him? Can that faith save him? But, you know, it's interesting that we know many often don't consider the cost of faith, right? You know, we were even discussing in the previous episode about if you see someone, right, be warm and be filled. Well, that sounds wonderful, right? Okay, and we talked about this, right? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do what I can do. But oftentimes what we neglect to consider is that cost, which if you look back at, well, all what we will be talking about here, the patriarchs, and you can look at Hebrews chapter 11, right? All the heroes of faith, all of those things that they did, right? The works resulting as a coming as a result of their faith. And really it's obedience to the Lord, right? Which demonstrates our love, faith for the immediate, and hope for future faith. Towards the Lord, they came at great cost to them personally, right? I mean, we'll speak of first Abraham, right? Abraham offered up his son Isaac, was the son of blessing, right? And Isaac, your seed shall be called, it says in Hebrews 11, right? And in verse 17, it says he'd received the promises offering up his only begotten son, which is a direct tie-in to example set forth for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to trust the Father so completely that we will put our will down and aside to do to carry out the Father's will. Now, we can't turn off our ears, and by that I mean spiritual ears and our eyes, to hear and see what the Lord is doing and saying and leading us to do, right? Because Abraham, by faith, didn't say, no, Lord, you said for me to go sacrifice my son, and I'm going to continue until it's done. He heard the Lord say, all right, we're good. That's enough. I'm pleased. And he stopped. He didn't then carry on in it anyways, right?
He didn't try to fulfill what he thought God meant. He responded to the active voice and listening to the word of the Lord and responded to that.
Correct.
The active voice of the Lord to be obedient.
But he he remained in the moment with the Lord, remained tenderhearted, soft towards the Lord, out of love and in faith, being obedient to what the Lord was saying for him to say and do in the moment. And same with Christ.
Mm-hmm. He was developed in being led by God.
Exactly.
When God said, go, do, he went and did. And God said, stop, that's enough. He stopped because that was enough by God's perspective.
Amen.
He didn't make assumptions. And so, neither did a Messiah.
So I'll bring this up just because in the previous episode, we were talking also about the being warm, being filled, right? Mm-hmm. Well, where is our faith? As if someone else, or there's all different levels and stages, we were talking about faith and maturity in the Lord and the things of the Lord in our walk, right?
Yes.
What if, and you, Layla, in your example yesterday or the previous episode, brought up about having a jacket in your closet. Well, that's all well and good, right?
Yes.
But that is out of your excess. What happens if it's your only jacket and you have it on? Do you have the faith that if the Lord's leading you, hey, give it to someone? You give it to someone. And then there is a cost, right?
Yes.
Because it's your jacket. It's your only one. But do you have the faith to not say, oh, well, I can't do anything for you? But if that's what the Lord's leading you, that you have the faith and you demonstrate it by saying, Lord, I'm going to give this because that's what you're leading me to do. And I fully trust that you are going to provide my needs. You're going to keep me warm. You're going to keep me filled, right?
Yes.
And by filled, I mean fed. And yes, filled with the Holy Spirit always, right? But what happens when it comes at great personal cost to you? Again, we were bringing up or brought up in Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. Every individual listed there, I'll say, walked with the Lord, did the Lord's will, and it came at great personal cost. But that's exactly what the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 1, right? I'll read verses 1 and 2, but it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it says, and then do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So just tying some things together, right, that we were to have been just discussing.
Yes.
Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? And ultimately it cost him his life. Right? And yes, the Father raised him back up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A type and shadow being Abraham and his son Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what the Father did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, again, there was still a cost, right? Jesus had to go along with that. And that was already known what he was going to do and choose, because Scripture tells us plainly he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And he still had a role. He still had to put down his own will. We too have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I brought up the excess piece because, like, let's look at Jesus in the temple. All these individuals were putting money into the offering, as it were.
The treasure box in the storehouse of the Lord.
Exactly. Well, what did the woman do? She put in two mites. And the Lord said, all these gave out of their excess. But she gave all she had. So, are we doing that same thing? Are we willing to do that same thing if that's what the Lord asks us to do? Or do we make excuses? Do we try to negotiate with the Lord? Well, Lord's the only one I got. Or are we just willing to trust the Lord, to have that faith and say, Lord, I know you'll provide. You don't allow me to suffer unnecessarily. And the Lord is, right, he's just. So he's going to reward you for your obedience. But I bring this up because as we look, right, that is the difference maker here in James. That's the difference maker between us and, says, those angels, right? that have fallen. And Jude describes it this way, right? The angels that did not stay within their own domain, but abandoned their proper dwelling and are now chained or in eternal chains under darkness, right? Mm-hmm. Bound for judgment. Mm-hmm. They refuse to listen or be led by the Lord and His Holy Spirit. They departed from, well, the proper domain, but you could say the chain of command, mm-hmm. right?
The obligation of obedience that exactly. they have.
Thinking and trusting in something else, which would be Lucifer. Well, what was Lucifer? That was Satan or the devil, the adversary. And said they trusted, they were led astray. They made a choice to be in opposition to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just be obedient to the Lord? Even if or when it comes at great personal cost?
Yes.
Because, and I bring that up because that is what is the highest. We talk about reasonable service of worship. Mm-hmm. That is when your service of worship is the highest form of worship.
Obedience is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The obedience at great personal cost. Yes, it's mm-hmm. wonderful to praise the Lord and sing along and
clap your hands
or raise your hands to the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Rejoice. But what does that truly cost you? Not that the Lord isn't glorified by that, but what is greater? What is the Lord more glorified in? Jesus said, in fulfilling the work you gave me to do. Mm-hmm. And that is especially so when it comes at great personal cost and still trusting the Lord for the outcome.
Amen. Being led by God just means being obedient to Him. Go ahead, Promise.
And going back to what you're saying, Dad, about how our obedience is ultimately played out by our love for God. And so the Lord first, and going back to what you're talking about, the demons mm-hmm. and our faith. And so the Lord first brought me to, most times when we think of faith, especially for our own lives, we want God to miraculously do something, as in there's a bright flash of light and then something happens. Something's fixed and as a result we're bettered. And so the Lord was reminding me that God can only add his super to our natural, as in He's only able to make something special if we actually put forth the effort to do it. So if we don't give God anything to work with, there's nothing. It's blank. As in, it's an empty void. It's a box.
Okay, go ahead.
And so the Lord first brought me to several scriptures. Okay. I have to flip to one of them, but it's
okay. Tell us which one it is so we
John
can get there
14,
too.
15.
Okay. I'll read it. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Oh, thank you, Mommy.
You're welcome.
And then Matthew 38.
Boy.
Sorry, Mommy.
Matthew 10:38.
Yes, please.
Okay.
And 39.
All right, I'll read that for you. It says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
And the same applies here, Dad, going back to what you're talking about, are we willing to lay down what we think about the Lord or what we think should happen in order for God to actually move and work inside of our life? And going back to, for example, a soldier, just because you're not necessarily a physical specimen, you don't look like Flex Wheeler, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you shouldn't go and join the fight. You should mm-hmm. still go forward, because even if you don't necessarily impress someone with your appearance, it's still something. And God is able to work with that.
Mm-hmm. God is not impressed by anybody's outward appearance, their height, their stature, their muscles, their lack thereof. God is not moved by that. He looks at the inward man. He looks at the heart And that's what he is pleased by, because he can add his super to anybody's natural. He made a donkey talk. Like, he's not impressed by or throttled by, you know, needing to add physical strength to any human being. So God is gracious and he loves us. Let's go ahead and close out there for prayer.
Well, I'll close in prayer.
Thank you, my Lord.
Lord, we welcome you to work inside of our lives, Lord, and Lord, we submit ourselves to your heavenly order, Lord, and we allow you to use us as your instruments, Lord, so that we may bring about your will, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.